Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here in the second hour of the show, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day in the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. Stock up for the big weekend right now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Not only that, an outstanding service department as well that backs all of this up. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. By the way, they're looking for new technicians, too. They're getting so much business there that they're looking for more technicians. So whether it's experience, entry level, career change, they want to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day, a milestone for Bryce Harper, his 100th home run as a Philly.
Out toward left center field, that's well struck. Lede on the run, it is gone! Opposite field, bullet by Bryce Harper, and he's just...
That way, that hard, you have to really stay behind it. And boy, did he ever.
Tommy McCarthy with the call on the Phillies TV network. It's interesting. He's already at 100 home runs now with the Phillies, and it doesn't feel like he's been there a long time. Bryce Harper, he will be pivotal to what the Phillies do in the postseason, and they've got a shot because of him in the lineup. He makes the entire lineup exponentially better. All right. Turn our attention now to Auburn football. Tomorrow, Nittany Lions on Auburn, 3:30. The kickoff, our broadcast begins on WKOK at 2. By the way, on Monday, do not forget, we will be back at the Penn's Tavern on Monday for the Neil Mertz Frenzy. All right, so come out from 3 to 5 at Penn's Tavern on Monday. All right, let's get down to the Plains now. The play-by-play voice of Auburn football is Andy Burcham. Andy, great to have you back. Welcome. So, two games in, Andy, what do you know about the team you broadcast for?
Auburn played a very poor first half of football last week against San Jose State. And then played a much better second half, but did not come out of that game, you know, with just feeling like you have a ton of momentum getting ready for the toughest part of your schedule, and it starts with the Nittany Lions on Saturday. So there's some questions about this team. They made a lot of mistakes in the first half, penalties, threw a couple, both of the quarterbacks threw an interception in the first half. Auburn was down 10-7 at the half, played much better in the second half of play. And if that's indicative of this Auburn team, this can be a fun day on Saturday. If Auburn goes out and plays as it did in the first half, yeah, it could be a very long day for the orange-clad Tigers.
Are they going to wear orange?
I don't know. We're wearing orange. I don't know if that's a big deal here.
I know. That's why I asked.
That's huge. Yeah. I mean, there are some folks that believe that that's the reason that Auburn was not very good in the late 70s is because they wore the orange jersey twice. I mean, if they do, it will be very interesting to see the reaction. I think the younger you get, they love the idea of the orange jersey. The older established fans do not. My wife is one of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the players like it. And I think they're toying with people. But I can't tell you one way or the other right now. I think they will wear an orange face mask.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're going to wear the orange jersey. Yeah. If they do, it's an historic night or historic day.
Well, Penn State will be wearing white helmets, white jerseys, white pants, just so you know. It's
as we would expect.
They played a game with Maryland, and the game was in Baltimore where the Ravens play. And Maryland decided they wanted to wear their throwbacks to 1961. Red jerseys, numerals on the helmets, the whole thing. So I'm doing the broadcast with Jack, and I said, and Maryland's wearing their throwback jerseys. I explained. He said, Penn State's wearing their throwbacks. I said, oh, wait a minute. Those are the Penn State jerseys. So there you go. We know Bigsby and Hunter. Alston, by the way, you know, fans haven't seen him here yet, but obviously I've seen him on tape. When you watch that running game, how good can it be?
I think it can be outstanding because I think Tank Bigsby, one, is and Jarquez Hunter, both are healthy. Yeah. And they were about midway through the season, neither one of those guys was healthy a year ago, and Bigsby still rushed for over 1,000 yards for Auburn. And I think he got healthier late in the season, but through a good portion of the season, he just didn't look like the same guy. And there's no question that Jarquez was hurt about midway through the season as well. And they're both very good backs. Good size, about 6 foot. They're 210, 202. And it's a good offensive line. It's not as good as it would have been if Nick Broms had been able to stay healthy and would have been playing in his sixth season at Auburn. But
right.
He got to about the last week of preseason camp, and it's just an accumulation of injuries over his career. And he decided to hang it up, and one day he'll be flying for Delta. Right. His dad's a Delta pilot, and he's studying to be a Delta pilot as well. So, and really a great, great young man. About to get, he'll get married next March, and I hate that he's not out there. I think this would have been a really, really good offensive line with Nick. Tate Johnson is a junior. He's from the same high school as Tank Bigsby at center for Auburn, and I think has played well in his first two games. His father, his uncle, Jim, was an all-Big Ten player at Purdue,
yep.
As a matter of fact. And Cam Stutz, the right guard, is a brand new piece to this puzzle as well. He has moved ahead of Keandre Jones at that right guard spot. The other guys are back for Auburn up front. But Auburn's run game is the most important part of the offense right now. No question about it.
Last year, the fans saw Bo Nix. He's now at Oregon. Robbie Ashford was at Oregon last year. He's now with you. TJ Finley backed him up last year here.
Right.
So tell me about TJ and his progress and what Robbie Ashford with his speed adds.
Well, TJ Finley has been Auburn starter since day one this season and took over for Bo Nix when Nix suffered a broken ankle in the loss to Mississippi State last season. So he has been the starter since. He has admitted that probably physically and mentally he wasn't ready to be the starter a year ago when he took over for Bo Nix. And although he played well at times, he also struggled at times. And Auburn finished the year on a 5-game losing streak. I think he's a better football player this year. He has thrown an interception in both games. He's throwing at about 65% this season. Auburn's passing game is not prolific by any stretch at this point. I mean, he's thrown for 279 yards and one touchdown this season. It doesn't even come close to comparing to what Sean Clifford has done for Penn State. He's a big guy. He's 6'7",
yeah,
and has dropped about 8 or 9 pounds, so he's down to 250 right now. And he runs better than you might guess. You know, at the end of last year, he was a bit hobbled, too. He had a bum ankle himself down the stretch of last season and was pretty immobile for Auburn. But I think is a better quarterback for Auburn. And then Robbie Ashford, as you mentioned, transferred in from Oregon, where he never played football. He played 2 years of baseball. He was the number one baseball prospect in the state of Alabama coming out of high school. And he gives you he is a true dual threat quarterback. And he has only thrown 10 passes this year, but he has 13 carries for 129 yards. And if he gets to the corner, he has sprinter's speed for Auburn. Good size. I mean, he's 6'3", 6'4", 212 pounds. He's good size, but it's his run game, and it's a different deal. And at least in the first two games, he's been in the second series. So it's not as though they wait for a situation. And he's been in on the second series starting deep in Auburn territory, too. So it wasn't necessarily a specific set that they were looking for. Whether that's the case on Saturday remains to be seen. But but as I told you when we talked earlier, I don't be surprised if he's not in the ballgame early and Auburn goes to a little bit of a different package at that point.
A guy I really like is John, I mean, he's an older player, John Samuels Shanker, the tight end, H-back. As a blocker, I feel like he's a security blanket for the quarterbacks. Is that accurate?
I would agree. A year ago for Auburn, he turned in a record-setting performance for tight ends. A school record, 33 catches for 413 yards. That both of those are school records at Auburn. Auburn's had some good tight ends, but it's never been a prolific passing team to the tight end. And Shanker could have gone on. He played baseball for Auburn for a year.
Yeah.
Good first baseman, but decided to come back and then decided that he was going to concentrate fully on football. Auburn's tight end room is deep.
Yeah.
Luke Deal and Tyler Fromm and Brendan Frazier and even Micah Riley Ducker are guys that you could see. And there will be times where you may see a triple tight end set on Saturday. But, yes, Shanker right now is the safety blanket for Auburn from a passing perspective. He's not going to stretch your defense. He's not a huge guy, you know, but he is one of those seniors. He's married. This is a mature kid, mature young man, I guess I should say, and has turned into a really good receiving tight end for Auburn.
Andy, I watch Hall 29 on video, and I see an NFL player. What do you see?
Well, he could have been an NFL player this year.
I agree.
And listen, there was all kinds of turmoil here in the winter. It was well publicized. But guys like Shanker and Derek Hall, who you just mentioned, Owen Papo, Auburn's middle linebacker, who was injured in the Penn State game a year ago.
Yep.
All of those guys could have gone to the NFL, transferred somewhere else, and all those guys decided they wanted to come back. And I think that says a lot about Auburn University. It says a lot about this program. And I think it says a lot about this coaching staff. And Hall is a delight to talk to. He is one of those team leaders. You will see Derek at basketball games, women's basketball games, baseball games. I mean, he's a presence on this campus. He wants to be a leader. And listen, we know, I mean, in this day and age, if you're the best player, that doesn't necessarily mean you're the leader, though. This guy is the best player on the defense, I think.
Yep.
And he is a leader on this team. And as a result, he's one of the team captains voted on by the Auburn team.
Yeah, no, I think when you go to the line of scrimmage, you've got to say, where's 29 every time?
Yeah.
The other guy's Cam Riley. I look at him. I feel like Riley watched him in the Mercer game at San Jose State. He looks like he's just so much better than a year ago. What's your thought on him, Andy?
He is about 15 pounds heavier, stronger, and he's 6'5".
Yes.
And he's long. He has range. I mean, he can run. And it's his time. It's his opportunity. Jacoby McClain was that other linebacker a year ago. You'll recall he was ejected in the game there at Happy Valley.
Yep.
And when McClain and Papo were healthy, Auburn was really, really good at linebacker. Papo was injured in that game a year ago, is healthy now, and Riley just gives them a different kind of. He's 6'5". He's a big presence, and he is around the ball. He had 16 tackles in game one against Mercer. He had 14 all of last year.
I have to ask you about, you know, look, we know Brian had a tough offseason. He got through it. There's going to be a new athletic director. I mean, so what is the state of the overall program there because of the offseason for both at Auburn?
I'll start with the athletic department, and Auburn named its interim athletic director yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
Rich McGlynn, who is an associate athletic director, but has been Auburn's compliance officer since he came on campus. And Rich has moved into that interim athletic director role right now. And now the search for a permanent athletic director moves forward. It will be led And from everything I can tell, it will be the new AD will be named by Auburn's relatively new president, Dr. Chris Roberts, who was the former dean in the Samuel Ginn College of Engineering at Auburn. I think it's about as good as you can be in this situation. Alan Green was a very popular man here, a popular man in the athletic department. But I think he saw the writing on the wall as far as what his future was going to be at Auburn and decided to step down. And so Marcy Girton, who is on the executive staff, was named the acting AD until Rich McGlynn was named the interim AD yesterday. And now the true search, if it hadn't already begun, it begins in earnest right now. It was a tough winter. It was a tough winter for this football program and certainly for this head coach. I think he came out of it well, though.
Yeah.
He is very self-assured. He is confident in his plan for Auburn football. And I think these guys really like playing for him as well. And I don't think you can underestimate. You shouldn't underestimate this team and the ability and the desire to play for Brian Harsin and his staff.
Well, I think the fact that so many guys stayed, that tells you a lot. I mean, that to me is the big part of it.
I mean, there were a couple guys that left, but a lot of these guys could have gone somewhere else, and they decided they want to be here.
That's right. Finally, what does this game mean to the Auburn fan base? It's not an SEC game. It absolutely is not Alabama, but Penn State's never been there. Is it excitement? Is it curiosity? What is it?
It's probably a little bit of both. I think the Auburn fan, the Auburn family, loves to have a team like Penn State on this campus. And especially after going, and there were a lot of Auburn people that I've talked to going around to various alumni groups that were at Happy Valley last year and were really impressed with that atmosphere and that game and were treated well by the Nittany Lion fans. And they're going to treat the Penn State fans well this weekend here. But they want those folks to experience what a game day is like on the plains on a Saturday. And I think just the fact that it's Penn State, I mean, it's a big name. And this, you know, after two games against Mercer and San Jose State, that Auburn fan is ready for a marquee game.
Yeah.
And this is the first one of those. And now, and really from here out, Steve, the rest of this schedule is a gauntlet. Because it's Penn State, Missouri, LSU, on the road, Georgia and Ole Miss before Auburn's off week. Auburn still has to go to Alabama. It still has to go to Mississippi State. And it still has LSU and Arkansas coming here and Texas A&M all coming here. So the schedule gets really rough, and it starts with Penn State Saturday.
The Auburn fans that came in here last year were phenomenal people.
Yeah.
So I can't say enough good things.
Auburn fans had a great time there last year. And they want Penn State to come in and have a great time, and they want the same output or the same outcome of a year ago. The home team wins.
Andy, what a pleasure. I can't wait to see you down there on Saturday. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
We'll see you on the plains on Saturday.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Take care.
Andy Burcham, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Auburn football. And I'll see Andy on the plains tomorrow when Penn State plays Auburn at 3:30. Our broadcast begins at 2. Don't forget, tonight, high school football, Shikellamy, Jersey Shore. Kevin Ur and the Chief, Dave Ritchie on hand for that one. And that will be a 7 o'clock kickoff, a 6:30 airtime for that game tonight for the award-winning broadcast, as many recognize as the best in the state, and justifiably so. And we'll be back on Monday from Penn's Tavern with the Neil Mertz Frenzy. It's going to be a lot of fun, great broadcast, looking forward to it. And we'll be there from 3 to 5 at Penn's Tavern coming up on Monday. All right, today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so we've taken a look at Auburn from Andy's point of view, from Brad Nessler's point of view, Jason Campbell's point of view. Now we're going to get a national viewpoint, not on the Auburn game, but on the national viewpoint of college football with Dennis Dottis, CBS Sports, next as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour of the show. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, stock up for the big game right now. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, lots and lots of snacks. Also great dipping sauces to go with it. Six great flavors of slushies. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great new inventory, all with incredible warranties, so important these days. Maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. That's fine. Well, go to Sunbury Motors. They have the best selection of pre-owned inventory anywhere, and it has the Sunbury Motors guarantee. So important. And a service department that backs all of this up. I mean, they're getting a lot of business. And because they do great work. Well, they need actually more technicians. So if you're looking for, you know, entry-level experience, quick lane, car-like truck service, heavy truck service, body, frame and alignment, and towing departments, hey, they want to hear from you. So whether you're experienced, entry-level technician looking for that first job, or someone looking for a career change, they want to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. By the way, don't forget, we're at Penn's Tavern on Monday from 3 to 5. The Neil Mertz Frenzy. Looking forward to that very much. It's going to be a great time, and it'll be a fun show. I do have to take care of one piece of work before that show. I do have to mention to my broadcast partner, Jack Ham, hey, look, needs to come on the show Monday. So that's on me. I'll ask him on the plane this afternoon, okay? He's sitting next to me the entire time. So at some point, I will bring it up. All right. we do pride ourselves in doing the best we can to bring you as many prominent name guests on the show as possible to give you a lot of perspectives. Brad Nessler from CBS, great example today. Andy Burcham from the Auburn Radio Network, great example today. Jason Campbell, former Auburn quarterback, great example today. And now this one. He is, to me, without question, one of the best in the business. Dennis Dodd from CBS. There's a lot to talk about. Dennis, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
I am good, Steve. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for asking. Great column you wrote on the transfer quarterback, because last year when Penn State played Michigan, we're doing the pregame show, and somebody asked about the use of two quarterbacks, McCarthy and McNamara. Now, it turned out in the game they didn't play McCarthy. And I made the comment, I said, look, I'm not there. I said, my guess is they're trying to keep McCarthy from transferring. I said, that's just from 30,000 feet. You wrote about the same thing. I mean, how difficult now is it for people to manage in this culture of transfers?
Well, it's an embarrassment of riches when you've got two good quarterbacks like a Michigan, like Ryan Day continually has had at Ohio State. It requires some deft manipulation in that the Michigan situation is one, frankly, I've never seen before. You've got a team captain. I don't think a quarterback has ever been a team captain under Harbaugh. He led the team to the Big Ten title and a playoff berth, threw for whatever it is, 383 yards against Michigan State, is not good enough. And I think, you know, at every school, the next guy up is always the most desired. But J.J. McCarthy is the five-star. He's the better-rated quarterback. You got hints of him last year. Harbaugh did go out of his way to give him a series of snaps every game. And he really directed the battle this year, and then he extended it into the season, and Penn had each quarterback start a game, and he made a decision for this week against UConn to meet J.J. McCarthy. It hints at, you know, what a ruthless and bottom-line situation it is in college as it is in the NFL, because now if you're Cade McNamara, what do you do?
Right.
You know, I think you've got to transfer. It just becomes a question of when.
No, I agree with you. 48% of FBS starting quarterbacks are transfers, which is a remarkable number.
In the last 20 years, since the beginning of the century, I did 20 years, that's 100 players, five each year from 24/7. 46%, almost half, is transferred. In 2016, every one of them transferred. The top five ended up transferring. That ended up being everybody from Shea Patterson, from Ole Miss to Michigan, to Malik Henry, who is really now an afterthought at Florida State. He ends up being a centerpiece on Last Chance U. And since 18, Steve, since the transfer portal was instituted, half of those quarterbacks have transferred.
Yeah. Penn State's going to play Auburn, for example. Finley, LSU. Ashford, Oregon. Calzada,
yep.
Texas A&M. That's their quarterback room. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
This will be a week where Nebraska plays Oklahoma. No Scott Frost. Look, you wrote the column, this was the slam dunk hire. Why didn't it work?
I don't know if I know the answer, because I was one of those in 5 years ago, hook, line, and sinker. I had covered Scott Frost when he won a national championship back in the 90s. He knew the culture. I don't have to tell you he was a perfect fit. He'd gone 13-0 at UCF in his prep job. I don't know. It suggests that it's a bigger job there than people thought, and I think it is a bigger job. If for no other reason, remember this, Steve, figure this out. I think everybody's forgotten the Big Ten, along with the other conferences, are going to go to one division now to match the two best teams in the for playoff purposes, you know, to get the two best teams ready for the playoff. Okay.
Right.
Nebraska goes from, well, you know, can we get good enough to go to a bowl? Then can we beat Iowa? Then can we beat Wisconsin and maybe win the division? Then we're playing for the title. To now, the next guy, year after year, the standard is getting into the top two to play for the Big Ten title. Guess who the top two are? Hasn't changed since Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler's day. Michigan and Ohio State. Nebraska is nowhere near those programs.
And that's going to be a big problem for a fan base that expects, you know, and forgets that they're a state of 1.8 million people. I mean, they don't have a natural recruiting area.
They don't, and they lost their way when they left the Big 12 for the Big 10. I'm not saying they should be back in the Big 12 because the money's the money.
Right.
But it had – Nebraska had recruiting ground. They went to California. They went to New Jersey. They went to Texas. The Big 12 opened up Texas. Huge.
Yep.
For Nebraska. Missouri, too, they suffered from that, and they went to the SEC. And so now you can't answer that question. Where do they recruit? Well, they don't have a natural recruiting ground. They change coaches so much in philosophy, they don't really have it. So they lost their way in that they're now just this Western outpost in a league that's centered in Chicago and New York. They're going to be, whatever this means, they're the closest team to USC and UCLA, 1,500 miles.
Yeah.
Not exactly a travel partner, but it goes beyond recruiting and bowl games and coaches. They've lost their way. There's no, who's Nebraska's rival? They don't have one.
Right.
They've got a contrived one with Iowa.
Yeah.
It's like sold to a sponsor, you know, whatever. But there's no there.
So now you and I have talked before about the financial separation between the SEC and the Big Ten compared to everybody else. Might we see down the road ACC, Big 12, Pac-10 coaches now leaving if they are offered a chance at the two big conferences to go there because the money might be more?
I don't think the disparity is going to be enough to say
that
the division line is between those two conferences. I just saw something today. Okay, we know the name for Nebraska right now. Kleiman from Kansas State. Matt Campbell from Iowa State. There's Lance Leopold from Kansas. Is this the first indicator, through realignment, that these Big 12 teams aren't going to be able to compete? In other words, you know, Nebraska is a better job than Kansas. Is it a better job than Iowa State? You've been there. I don't know. Can Iowa State match what a Nebraska would be able to offer? And if not, what does that say about their ability to hire in the future? Because the Big 12 is, I don't know if people know this, is taking a giant haircut no matter what happens.
That's right.
The meteorites, right?
That's right.
So is this the first indicator?
That's a good, and again, that's a great point because they are going to take a giant haircut. And we've talked about that on the show. People think, oh, they opened up the new TV, you know, negotiation. They're going to get more. They're not going to get more money. Pac-12 is not going to get more money. I mean, and the ACC is stuck through 2036 with what they're doing. The way they can get more money is through the college football playoff. ESPN does have exclusive rights to it until the new one comes up. So what are the hurdles, Dennis, to making this happen in 24 and 25 as opposed to starting in 26?
Mostly logistical, sites, hotel rooms. It's already been published report that if they went early to 24 or 25, that the ESPN is contracted to pay $450 million a year.
Okay.
In those 1 or 2 years. So that's done, according to reports.
Okay.
I guess I would say that.
Right.
The other stuff is complicated. I was able to find out that the CFP commissioners have copies of the dates of the 25 and 26, I believe, playoffs. Those aren't even available. Those haven't been released to the public.
Right.
You can kind of do it yourself if you backdate stuff, like I did for my story. But there's all kinds of complications. Beginning in early December, NFL teams play Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right.
Well, when are you going to play some of these games? You've got the issue of trying to sell 16 games again, which the commissioners thought they had done last June when they presented. But it looks even more daunting now with revenue sharing and collective bargaining on the horizon. That's another one, revenue distribution. I think eventually the players are going to have to get a piece. Don't ask me how, Right. I can offer opinions, but I think we all know they're going to get a piece when it's worth, at a minimum per year, $1.5 billion.
And that was going to be my next question about revenue distribution to the players. Kevin Warren, as to his credit, brought it up.
Yeah.
Right? How difficult is that going to be to achieve, because there is not an entity that represents the players, at least at this hour?
Well, to be very crass about it, I think you just come to a number where you can call it what you will, an appearance fee, whatever, for what would it be, the 1,200 players in the playoffs. That's 100. I'm just using 100 times 12.
Right.
And I've already written this. Let's say you give them $32,000.
Okay.
The math works out with the total I just told you. That's about 2% of what the $1.5 billion. Not a lot, right?
Right.
You could do it. So whatever the number is, here, sign this that you won't sue us, or whatever the language is. I mean, that's how they do it with these conferences. The group of five is getting 22% now under the current deal. Basically, that was the number they settled on, so the group of five wouldn't say, hey, collusion, monopoly, antitrust. You do the same thing with the players. Just for the playoffs. I mean, there's a separate discussion to be had, you know, overall about compensating players.
Do you feel like you're covering stuff now that maybe, you know, you probably thought you might down the road, but covering stuff now when it comes to stories like that,
Well, that have been for a while. It's just the frequency of it.
Yeah, the frequency. Yeah.
It just rolls. It just comes in waves. Just right now, Steve, the SEC directed Oklahoma to postpone Georgia in 23 and Tennessee in 24 from their non-conference schedule. You know what that tells me?
Right.
That Oklahoma is going to be in the SEC in 23 or 24, maybe as early as next year.
Right.
That's an indicator to me. So I got to make calls on that. What does that look like?
And what does that tell us about the Oklahoma and maybe even Texas ability to somehow get its way, maybe financially, a buyout to get out of the grant of rights?
Well, I think the new Big 12 commissioner, Brett Yormark, has been public about that he would listen or try to facilitate something like that. Then it would just, I don't know what the number is. I have an idea, but I'm not sure what the number is, because there's an early exit penalty.
Yeah.
And then there would have to be a negotiated buyout from the grant of rights, because the grant of rights doesn't go away. It goes on for, what's this year, four more years?
Four more years,
Three more years?
Yeah.
And so there's no money figure attached to that. You'd have to be let out of that for money. And I would suspect that would be nine figures. Maybe not, but it would go down as time, you know, each year passes. But that would be a discussion to be had as well.
Yeah, I thought Maryland was like $50 million or something like that.
Yeah,
when they got out of the ACC.
And it was fine. They financed it. You remember Rutgers, and I don't know if this is the same thing, Rutgers was grandfathered in to the point where they don't get a full share until 2027.
Well, that's,
Rutgers borrowed.
Yes.
Borrowed to the Big Ten against future earnings because they were so upside down.
I have mentioned 2027 with Rutgers finally being fully vested many times on the show along the way.
Somebody got hold of a document. This is big news. The document that it was given to Rutgers, it said by 27, Big Ten teams will be earning $57 million a year. Well, that's out the window, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, the price of poker's gone up just a little bit more since then.
Unreal. We're talking about monopoly money. It's amazing.
Yep.
Dennis, always a pleasure. Love talking about this stuff with you because you know it so well. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
All right, Steve. Thank you.
The outstanding Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. He's been a frequent guest on this show, giving you that national perspective, which is so important. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Look, you need to stock up for the game. You need to do it right now. All right? And that means going over to Brewers Outlet and getting the best selection of beer anywhere. You know, imports, domestics, microbrews, whatever you want, they have it.
Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the personal favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hubbles Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. And again, when you look at Ford Kia Hyundai, that's the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a fabulous service department. It's looking for more technicians. You want a job? Check them out. Because they want to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com or call Todd at 286-7746. Coming up on Monday, we'll be at Penn's Tavern for the Neil Mertz Frenzy. We're looking forward to that. Matt and I will be out there. I'll be doing the show there. Matt will be complaining about the usual. It's a complainer. Starting to get a reputation. And don't forget, coming up tonight, it'll be Shikellamie football taking on Jersey Shore with Kevin Earn, the Chief, their award-winning, state award-winning broadcast. And that will be start at 6:30. 7 o'clock will be the kickoff. And don't forget, of course, the streams. It's amazing what our people do. These are three-camera streams. Not one, three. Amazing. Love watching it. Love the broadcast. I'll be sitting down in Montgomery tonight watching some of that and listening to their broadcast, keeping up to date. And don't forget, Bucknell tomorrow plays Central Michigan. And Doug's out there for that. And the irony is Penn State plays Central Michigan next week. All right, had a lot of fun today. Our thanks to Brad Nessler, Andy Burcham from the Auburn Radio Network, Jason Campbell, former Auburn quarterback, and Dennis Dodd from CBS. And as always, our thanks to each and every one of you. We can't do this without you. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.